This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Everybody, welcome to Prop Points. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are from rotowire.com. We got a news-heavy cycle for you today. Lots of NFL news coming down the pike, including Jordan Addison getting his suspension, Keenan Allen returning home, Jerry Jones doing Jerry Jones things. Of course, as always, later in the show, we've got our NFC win total bets. We're going to talk a little golf. Len Hochberg previewing the FedEx St. Jude Championship. The PGA playoffs begin this week. And finally, it's Dinger Wednesday. Excited about that as well. Nick Whalen, let's talk a little NFL. Jerry Jones is at it again. Micah Parsons, unhappy, hasn't been practicing this week, asked for a trade. Jerry Jones isn't confident now that Parsons will play in week one. They played the Thursday night game against the Eagles. Man, every year it's something like this here. And this one seems like the worst one of them all.
It certainly does. I don't understand, Jeff, why Jerry Jones continues to what I would call pick fights with his own players. And for whatever reason, the best players on his roster. I mean, this goes back to CeeDee Lamb. It goes back to Dak Prescott. It goes back to Ezekiel Elliott. It goes back to Zach Martin. You could always take this 30 years back to Emmitt Smith, who actually ended up sitting out games for the Cowboys. And I just think there's a lack of faith at this point in Jerry Jones, you know, making the right decision, having his franchise's best interest in mind. I mean, it's Micah Parsons, man. It might be the best defensive player in the league. Certainly, you know, the guy that I think you would take and you say, hey, you could take any defensive player right now and you can have him for the next 5 years. I think Micah Parsons is the answer for just about every franchise in the NFL. When you draft somebody in the first half of the first round, you expect that player to hit. The goal is for that guy to get to a second contract. And if he's one of the three best defensive players in the NFL, you happily pay that guy because of how impactful he is to your team. So I don't understand it. It's been such a weird story to follow. You know, nothing Jerry Jones says really makes sense. There's all this back and forth. Agents are involved. Former players are involved. It just feels like an obvious, of course you pay this guy. He's Micah Parsons situation to me. But if Jerry Jones is tossing out the possibility that Micah Parsons sits out games, look, I know it's Jerry Jones, but I think we have to take that at least semi-seriously. My question to you, Jeff, is like, does this make you want to throw something down on Philadelphia -7? Because if Micah Parsons isn't out there, where do we see that line settle? Does it go to 8? Does it go to 8.5?
Yeah, we always talk about it's hard to get off 3-7. I don't know what does move it, but I'll tell you what, losing an elite pass rusher would move the needle for me. Losing an elite offensive lineman would move the needle for me. By the way, Dallas has had offensive line issues as well. Yes, right now I am on the Eagles side on that -7. I think that it's probably 1.5 maybe for me with everything, not just on Parsons, but I think right now I'm on Eagles anywhere up to -8.5. And this is an amateur handicapper talking here, folks. I guess lines, I don't set line. But I do like, you know, my process is I try to guess the line ahead of time and figure out what it is. And I compare it versus what the actual line is. And I figure out if I'm missing something, what am I missing? I know the Eagles have had some turnover and they're especially on the defensive side of the ball. Yet, yeah, I do feel that way. I do think Dallas will score some points, but I think they're going to, if there's no Micah Parsons, the banged up secondary, I think the Eagles could put up a pretty big number.
Yeah, no question. And yeah, right. The Eagles have some turnover on defense, but you know, I think the relative question marks that the Eagles have on the defensive side of the ball right now, it's like any other team in the NFL would be like, I would love to have this hole because they are so deep. I mean, there's a reason they were comfortable letting go, you know, of so many key guys this offseason. It's a next man up type of team.
Indeed. Indeed. In fact, you even look at the team totals there, the spread adds up to 8. Yeah, 27.5 to 19.5. So another way of kind of looking at it there that, yeah, I feel pretty confident at the -7 right now. Anthony Richardson's going to start the Colts' first preseason game, start and play into the second quarter. So much for him being limited earlier in the season with that shoulder. Turns out he's getting plenty of work right now. Mm. Your reaction to this news, is there anything actionable from this news?
Yeah, I think there is. You know, it's easy to look at what the Colts said yesterday, which is Richardson will start the first game. He'll play into the second quarter. Then Daniel Jones will come in. Jones will start the second preseason game, and then Richardson will come in. So, yeah, it's somewhat of an egalitarian split here. But I think it means something that Anthony Richardson is getting the first crack at it, even if we see relatively even overall playing time for these two guys through the first two preseason games. Like there's certain things you should and should not read into this time of year, but Anthony Richardson getting the first crack at it, I think, is meaningful. He is now minus 280 at the DK Sportsbook to take the first snap for the Colts in week one. And look, I know the Colts have a pretty solid roster outside of the quarterback position. You know, there's a lot of pressure on Chris Ballard, their GM. I think there's mounting pressure on Shane Steichen to at least, you know, move the needle forward a little bit this season. The quarterback position is still going to be a weakness no matter what, but I am of the belief, Jeff, that the Colts owe it to themselves. They owe it to the front office, the coaching staff, Anthony Richardson, to at least give him a shot to prove that he is or is not the future of this team at quarterback. Because, you know, due to the injuries, due to the performance so far, I don't think we have enough of a sample by any means to officially close the book and say, oh, he's just a bust. We made a bad pick. Let's clean house because of it. I think it's in everybody's best interest for Anthony Richardson to at least prove this one way or the other. That doesn't mean he has to start the entire season, but I think if he starts week one and look, it's a total disaster, four games in, you have to pivot to Daniel Jones, so be it. You at least have to give Anthony Richardson the chance to prove it one way or the other.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with that there. And clearly there's a lot of moving parts here going on with the Colts, just at the quarterback situation. As you mentioned, the GM coach situation, the fact that the owner passed away suddenly this summer and Jim Irsay, that's kind of crazy as well. Colts are, I think they're one of those teams that could swing plus or minus two or three games. I think there's interesting talent assembled, but it all starts with the quarterback position. Their win total, yep, everywhere is 7.5. At DraftKings, it's both the under and the over at minus 110. Do you have a take on that number?
No, if that's an acceptable answer, because I think there's just a ton of variance with this team this season. But look, I think I would lean slightly over, to be honest, because I'm lower than market on the Jaguars. You know, everything out of Titans camp so far has been a total disaster. It doesn't sound like that team is moving in the right direction right now. So I think there is a chance, you know, in division for the Colts to maybe pick up three wins against those two teams. And again, there's still a lot of talent on this roster. Like I really like the pass catching group. You brought in Tyler Warren. You know, the offensive line is certainly not what it was 3 or 4 years ago, but it's not a glaring weakness. And then the Colts are one of those teams that are going to be competitive week to week. Like even in some of the Richardson disaster games, like it felt like everything was always coming down to one drive in the fourth quarter. They generated a ton of big plays. And look, if Richardson does flame out and you have to pivot to Daniel Jones, he might be the least exciting quarterback in the NFL. I think the days of Daniel Jones developing into anything more than like the 18th best quarterback in the league are probably out the window, but it at least gives you a reasonable baseline. We have seen Daniel Jones lead a fairly underwhelming Giants team to the playoffs not that long ago. So that's kind of the other part of this too, Jeff, where it's like what the GM wants, which is probably, hey, save my job, Anthony Richardson, versus what the coaching staff might want, which is a little more safety in Daniel Jones, kind of oppose each other. So the season could go either way for the Colts, no question about it. And I mean, talk about the variance bowl in week one, Jeff. Dolphins at Colts. Good luck picking that one.
Yeah, indeed. We've spent plenty of time on both of these teams on the doom and gloom there. Speaking of doom and gloom, let's talk Cleveland. Shedeur Sanders starting the preseason game. This is just because Joe Flacco, they don't want him to play in the first preseason game because he is the starter and everybody else is hurt. So hurt, they had to bring in Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, I think more than anything, this means Joe Flacco is probably the guy to begin the year. I still think we see two, three, maybe more quarterbacks at some point for the Browns. Like you said, they brought in Stu Puntley just to provide some depth for joint practices and this first preseason game. You know, the more you dig in on this, Shedeur Sanders has not taken a single snap with the first team in camp. You know, the Browns have had to get creative, kind of breaking up how they run their offense throughout training camp just to try to get all these quarterbacks reps. But look, it adds some intrigue to a preseason game. We've talked about this a ton. Shedeur Sanders is a bigger celebrity than he is an NFL prospect at this point, and it gives you a reason to watch a Panthers-Browns preseason game on Friday night. And this is a huge opportunity, by the way, for Shedeur Sanders to quiet, I think, some of the doubters, right? I don't expect him to come out and just be throwing lasers, but this is a huge opportunity for him. You know, this was probably not going to be the case if Kenny Pickett and Dylan Gabriel were not injured right now. And this might really be his only shot, I think, to try to flip that narrative.
Absolutely. Brutal regular season schedule for the Browns. I know you've been in on the under for them, even with that low 5.5 win total there, just because of how brutal the schedule is and the quarterback situation. Let's talk Jordan Addison. We finished the RotoWire Fantasy Football podcast yesterday, and literally 2 minutes later, the NFL handed down the 3-game suspension for Jordan Addison. Mm-hmm. It was either going to be 2 or 3, I think, if you look at previous DUI, DWI suspensions. That was kind of the range. It came in at 3. We're already looking at what's going to happen to this Vikings offense while he's out.
Yeah, I think 3 games seems about right. I know Addison will go through the appeal process. I don't expect anything major to come of that. But, you know, Justin Jefferson currently banged up. It should be good to go for week 1, but certainly some concerns about the depth in that receiver room. I think Jalen Naylor becomes really interesting as somebody you could throw in there in a deeper league in fantasy early in the season. And I think this is great news for TJ Hockenson for those first 3 games. He's probably the guy to me who benefits most.
Indeed. Did you know that RotoWire has a brand new look and even better fantasy football draft tools for the 2025 season? Whether you're using the Draft Assistant to get real-time insights as you draft, customizing your own strategy with the Draft Plan Creator, or testing scenarios with the powerful Draft Simulator, RotoWire gives you everything you need to draft with confidence. And right now, VSiN followers get an exclusive offer. Head to rotowire.com, enter promo code VSiN at checkout, get 15% off any RotoWire product. Again, RotoWire.com, promo code VSIN, VSIN. Quickly, let's get you up to date on the 4 day games that have gotten started so far. Baltimore behind Trevor Rogers is up on Philly 4-1. Rogers has just been rolling with this team lately. That much mock trade is actually bearing fruit on both sides between Rogers and Kyle Stowers. Kobe Mayo with a home run in that game. Pirates up 2-1 on the Giants. Cleveland up 3-0 on the Mets. Could it be a sweep? We're going to talk NFC win totals coming up next. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you, taking you up to 3 p.m. Eastern. We got 4 Major League Baseball games in action right now. We'll keep you posted on all those as we get action throughout the show. We'll have some best bets coming for you for the evening and the night slate later. Len Hochberg going to join us in about 15 minutes to talk a little golf, Jeff. It's been a while since we visited with our friend Len Hochberg, but pack show coming your way over the next 45 minutes. Want to turn our attention back to the National Football League. Yesterday, we gave out our favorite win totals in the AFC. Now we head over to the NFC. Jeff, we'll lead off with 3 teams that you're taking a look at. Tell me about the Detroit Lions first.
All right. Nothing but love for the Detroit Lions. My mom was born and raised in Detroit. They're my second team, but I think they're going to have a tough start to the season. I am under the 10.5 wins. It's currently -120. And there's a few reasons why. One, the brain drain. They lost both coordinators to become head coaches. That's what happens when you're successful. Of course, they still have Dan Campbell and he sets the tone, but I think they will miss Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn quite a bit. In June, Frank Ragnow, their starting center, all-pro center, announced his retirement. I think it may have been a little bit of a surprise for the Lions. They also lost guard Kevin Zeitler to free agency. So you're looking at 2 new offensive linemen in the interior offensive line in particular. That concerns me quite a bit. Always wonder what happens when you replace a center. Whether they go with Fairchild or at center or if they go with Graham Glasgow. Either way, I kind of think that it's going to be a little tricky. Excuse me, Tate Ratledge. I get my Georgia interior offensive lineman mixed up sometimes, but Christian Mahogany might play a really important role in this team. So we'll watch and see about that one there. The schedule is really tough. They go at Baltimore, at Cincinnati, at Cleveland, all in the first 3 weeks of the season. They've got a big Monday night game against the Bucks. More about them a little bit. At Philly as well, at Washington, obviously their own division is tough. They've a late season game at the Rams as well. They finished with 2 road games at Minnesota, at Chicago to finish the season. It's a tough schedule. It's a very tough schedule. They could win 10 games. That could still maybe even theoretically win the division. Although I don't think 10 games does. I think this is a very tough division. Most competitive division in football last year. Give me the under 10.5 wins this year.
All right, there we have it. Under 10.5 on the Detroit Lions. Could get that right now, minus 120 over at DraftKings. Jeff, let's stick in the NFC North. You just called it the most competitive division in football. I agree with you. I do think we maybe see a little bit more of a kind of comeback to the pack for all the top three teams. Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay all won double-digit games, all won at least 11 games last year. I would expect a little bit more parity between those three and maybe a step forward for Chicago as well. The number for the Green Bay Packers comes in at 9.5.
Yeah, it does. And I think that's too low. I think the Packers are a really solid team. I think Matt LaFleur is a fantastic play caller. They were third in overall DVOA, according to our friends over at FTN last year. That suggests that this is a strong team, even though they don't really have a star. They're deep at every position. This is the youngest team in football last year. I just think, and they kept their core together. I think with another year of experience, they take another step up. Full season out of Jordan Love this year. They got Matthew Golden, who in the first round is showing up at camp, brought an element to the team that they don't think they had before at wide receiver. Some of the worst wide receiver play in the league last year. And you know, some of it was due to injury, but I think that they're really improved in that section of their team. My one concern is the defensive backfield, especially if Nate Hobbs, their slot corner, just had surgery to repair a torn meniscus. If he has to miss significant time, Jair Alexander, obviously, he is now applying his wares in Baltimore. But they were without Jair Alexander a good chunk last year. And the uncertainty, that's gone. At least they know now they don't have him. They just moved on from him. I think that is going to overall be a net good for them. I like the over 9.5 wins.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jeff, their number also comes in at 9.5, of course, favored to once again take home the NFC South title. You're looking at the under for Tampa Bay. Tell me why.
Okay, a few reasons why. One, I think regression is part of the equation here. When you talk about the season that Baker Mayfield had, last year was fantastic, obviously, especially in the overall run numbers. Although he did lead the league in interceptions as well as touchdown passes. Just a really fun player last year, 41, not lead the league, but lead the NFC in touchdowns, 41 passing touchdowns, 4,500 passing yards. I don't like, though, that they lost Tristan Wirfs, at least for the start of the season. I know he's progressing well. It's not a sure thing he's going to be missing the first four games, but it's likely. That was the initial reporting there. I also direct you to pay attention a little bit to the Bucs schedule early on. A tough game in week two at Houston. They play Philly early on in this in the season there. I think both of those games are going to be really challenging for them there. I think you've got some other early games. If they get to late season and they're rolling, then I'll change my tune. But right now, I think they got a really tough stretch there. Even their most important divisional road game at Atlanta is week one. I'd rather have some of those backload. They go at Detroit later on. We talked about it as a Monday night game. They get the Niners later on at some point in the season. They get at the Bills, at the Rams. They get a lot of the trappings of what a first place schedule looks like there. And so I'm going to go on the under on their 9.5 wins, minus 115.
All right. All right. I like it. You can find all of our picks, all of our futures over at VSiN.com, by the way, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber. And speaking of, the college football season is almost here. Don't bet it without the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. Just came out earlier this week. Got previews of all 136 FBS teams, our preseason top 25, power ratings, proven betting systems, and all the best bets you can handle from VSiN's sharpest minds. Sign up now and you'll get both the college football and NFL betting guide, plus a daily best bets email from all of our hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits and market insights, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can also watch over at VSiN.com, plus full access to everything we offer, all of our tools, all of our data over at VSiN.com. You can start today for just $9.99 or get a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Go check it out right now. Sign up over at VSiN.com/subscribe.
Nick, let's continue our tour of the NFC North. We've already covered the Lions and the Packers. What about the Vikings? What are you weighing in on them at 9.5 wins?
Yeah, Jeff. So I feel like you kind of have to pick a side between Minnesota and Green Bay. I think these are very different rosters, but I think they have similar upside, perhaps similar downside, pretty high floor, I think, for both of these teams. But I'm just a little bit higher on Green Bay than I am Minnesota. And again, I don't see this necessarily being a repeat of last year where you have, you know, like a 15-win team, a 14-win team, an 11-win team. I think all three of those top teams in the division are a little bit more equal this year. So I'm going under 9.5 on Minnesota. First and foremost, we have, you know, big concerns about the quarterback position. It could go really well. We just don't know. And that's enough of an unknown to me to wonder if there will be, you know, a significant learning curve for JJ McCarthy, a guy I was a little bit skeptical of coming out of Michigan. You know, could benefit him to have sat out the entire rookie year. But at the same time, you know, he's rehabbing an injury for most of that time. So it's not like he was getting reps on the side. We didn't even see him, you know, get any time late in the season. You know, we talked about Jordan Addison missing the first three games of the year. Justin Jefferson is banged up. You look at the schedule, they play the NFC East and the AFC North. You know, both of the quote unquote gimme easy games against the Giants and the Cleveland Browns in there are both on the road. You're not getting any free wins in division. You're certainly not getting any free wins against Philly or Washington or the other teams in the AFC North. And look, this is, you know, somewhat of a hokey trend, Jeff. This has spanned multiple coaches, multiple GMs, multiple quarterbacks. Minnesota hasn't made the playoffs in consecutive seasons in 15 years, you know, more than 15 years, really. It's been since 2008 and 2009. And then one other stat that I always like to mention when I'm talking about the Vikings, they led the NFL in turnovers forced last season. They went 9-1 in one score games. Those are both things that don't tend to be sticky year over year.
That's right. And that's a remarkable stat, by the way. It's just 15 years is a long time to have this sort of trend. Let's talk about one other team here that you like on their win total. And it's a team you don't like. It's the Saints. We've beaten this drum a little bit more. Tell us why you're under 5.5 wins on the Saints.
Yeah, well, honestly, I'm glad I got this one early, Jeff, because I think everybody's starting to pile on the New Orleans Saints. Give me the under 5.5. I think this is the worst roster in the NFL. And, you know, they have an easier schedule than the Giants. They have an easier schedule than the Browns. But I think getting to 6 wins, I just don't really see the path. You know, the quarterback situation might be even worse than we thought. The early reviews on Tyler Shuck have not been good. I think we're going to see Spencer Rattler to begin the year. You know, a lot of the key players defensively, you think about somebody like Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, those guys are 36. You know, Taysom Hill's 35. He's coming off of a huge injury. Where are the blue chippers, right? Outside of Alvin Kamara and Chris Olave, who I have big questions about, you know, staying on the field. I just don't really see much of an argument for this Saints team. Teams don't tank in the NFL, Jeff, but if there was ever a spot to do it, this would be it. The Saints should absolutely be motivated to find their quarterback of the future in next year's draft. I think this is going to be a disaster season.
And ironically, they're a team that's been proud about not tanking in the past and not looking in the future. They keep on pushing it forward to the next day. We're going to talk playoff, but golf playoffs with Len Hochberg coming up next on the Progressive Guest Line. This is Prop Point.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are from rotowire.com, as is our next guest. Our good friend Len Hochberg is the senior golf writer over at Rotowire. He joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Len, good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Great to be with you guys.
Fantastic. We've got the FedEx St. Jude Championship, the beginning of the PGA playoffs. And the playoffs are different this year, especially the final. What's changed?
Well, the Tour Championship, the third of the three playoff events, will no longer have that controversial starting strokes format. You'll recall for the past 6 years, the points leader going into the Tour Championship started at 10 under. The next guy was 8 under, and it went all the way back to the 26th through 30th guys in the Tour Championship field, started at even par. I mean, nobody liked that. Fans didn't like that. Reporters didn't like that. The players didn't like that. The only one who seemed to have liked it was the PGA Tour, but they finally come around and they have scrapped that. And even though it's still 2 weeks away, I think it just puts the entire playoffs into a new light and makes them a little bit more, or a lot more, legitimate beginning this week with Memphis, the FedEx St. Jude.
Len, from a betting or a daily fantasy perspective, does this change make it a little bit easier for you? It seems like it would at least make it a little less convoluted.
Yeah, I mean, anything that simplifies things is good, Nick, and that certainly does. And, you know, and that'll really come to light in 2 weeks at Eastlake when you just sort of had to figure out, you know, who's going to be able to come back from five shots, or can this guy hold a lead? Can he play with a lead? It was just so, I mean, it was the opposite or a 180 from everything that we did all season long. So it's just a great thing, a win-win for everybody all the way around, including the players.
So let's take a look here at this week's tournament, the St. Jude Classic. Scottie Scheffler, overwhelming favorite, plus 280. DraftKings, the daily fantasy price, though, is in the 13,000s, less than it was at the British. Interesting. No Rory. This price at 280, do you think that's a good price?
Yeah, the 280 is not a surprise. I think that's just the going rate for Scottie Scheffler these days. It is what it is. But the 13,000 is really what surprised me. As you mentioned, he was a bigger price at the Open Championship, 14-2, so a significantly higher price. And this week, he only has to beat 68 other guys. There's only 69 guys in the field. It would normally be 70, but there's no Rory McIlroy. So no Rory McIlroy, half the guys he has to beat, less than half. And so 13,000 is seems like a very favorable price if you want to play Scottie Scheffler, and it's hard to figure out a reason not to. On top of that, there's no cut this week. So if you have to dip down into the 6,000s, which you will if you play Scottie Scheffler, there's no fear of getting screwed on a Friday. You might get all 4 days before you get screwed, but you get all 4 days.
We're talking with Len Hochberg, our golf betting and DFS expert over at rotowire.com. He joins us here on Prop Points on the Progressive Guest Line. Len, it feels like there's a Scotty question for you every week, and then we have to ask the follow-up, of course. If you're not betting Scottie Scheffler, where else are you looking, whether it's an outright or a top five, top 10?
Yeah, well, I just had a couple of different ways to go on that. I was just had to submit my RotoWire one and done pick, and Scottie Scheffler is long gone. So I went with Russell Henley, who I also have in my DraftKings article. He's at 10,000. He's one of four guys in the five figures, the others being, Justin Thomas is up there. But Henley has had a very good year. Maybe quietly so, because he has not won, but he's only played 15 times, but he has 9 top tens. His last four, the last two majors, the US Open and the Open Championship. He's a perfect fit for this course. This course is all about getting the ball in the fairway and getting the ball on the green. He's top 20 in accuracy off the tee, top 20 in tee to green, top 20 in greens and regulation. I think he'll be a popular play in one and done. I think he'll be a popular play in just about every format, because he is one of the best plays this week.
Hideki Matsuyama won this tournament last year at 25-1. He's 35-1 this year. He's also sub 9,000 on DK. Do you like either angle for him?
Yeah, I do. I do like him. He's in my DraftKings article over on RotoWire. He is a good play this week. He has not had a good year. He has not had, he won the Century back first week of the year. He's not had another top 10 since then, but he has had top 20s the past 3 weeks. And this course is a good fit. Obviously, he won here. This is a course where really favors ball strikers, getting the ball in the fairway, getting the ball on the small greens. We've seen some really terrible putters win this tournament the past few years. Hideki Matsuyama last year, Lucas Glover the year before, Will Zalatoris the year before that. I don't know if you could line up three worst putters on the PGA Tour, and they all won this tournament. It's just a heavy, heavy premium on ball striking and getting the ball in the fairway. Actually, Scottie Scheffler this morning, he spoke to reporters. I'm going to look down at my notes. I want to get this right here, what he said, quoting him: the rough is healthy. There's a big premium on getting the ball in play. So if Scottie Scheffler is going to say that, you don't have to believe me. Believe Scottie Scheffler. All a roundabout way of saying that Hideki Matsuyama is a good fit this week.
Len, any interest in Victor Hovland for you this week? 35-1 to win the tournament at DraftKings, 9,300 if you're playing DFS.
Yeah, big interest for me. I do like him. He's in the article as well at 9,300. There are a number of guys ahead of him. It's not been the greatest year, but he's really shown some flashes that show he is still capable of being Victor Hovland. And like, you know, talking about getting the ball in the fairway, getting the ball on the green, I think that, you know, this kind of course fits his skill set and can minimize his deficiencies. He was runner-up to Hideki Matsuyama last year. So also a very good fit. There's a lot to like about him. 9,300 seems a very fair price in the betting market. I saw that he was plus 500 for a top five. You can get a 5-to-1 return on your money for Victor Hovland for a top five. I think that's great. Even plus 240 on a top 10. Those numbers are looking good for Victor Hovland this week.
Let's talk a little JJ Spahn, Len. You know, obviously a major winner now, followed up with a couple other good showings. Not only is he interesting for this game, this tournament, but I also kind of view like his Ryder Cup chances pretty positively now as well.
Yeah, that's a good point to bring that up, Jeff. We're just a few weeks away from the Ryder Cup. I mean, after the BMW next week, the six automatic selections will be named. That is out of Keegan Bradley's hands. It's completely on points. But just a week later, the day after the Tour Championship, the Monday after the Tour Championship, the six U.S. captains picks will be named, and that'll be really an intense fight there. But J.J. Spahn is looking very good as an automatic selection. And you're right, since winning the U.S. Open, you know, it would have been very easy for just a life-altering moment for him, career-altering, life-altering for him to just like have some very bad weeks and just have his mind elsewhere and be in cloud nine. But he's kept his feet on the ground, beginning with the Travelers the very next week, had a good Open Championship. I like him. He's way back in the 7,000s. He's also plus 300 for a top 10 this week. That's a good looking number as well. So there's a lot to like. He's another guy. Just get the ball in the fairway, get the ball on the green, get your par, make some birdies, get to the next hole.
All right, Len, we'll take you out on this real quickly. Any long shots that you're looking at this week? Maybe not outright to win the tournament, but anybody, you know, lower down in the DK salaries who's caught your interest?
Yeah, I don't think he can win. And you're right. I think the winner is going to come up from very up on high, maybe in the top one or so. But I do like Nick Taylor. He's 6,900. He's had a very good year. He's won. One of only three guys to have won the last 3 years. The other two you may have heard of, Scheffler and McIlroy. He's 18th in points. He will be in the Tour Championship. 6,900 for him. And I think even a good play for a top 10. I mean, there's really no advantage to playing top 20s this week with only 69 guys in the field. There's not a lot there, but he's plus 450 on a top 10. You know, I'm not completely sold on that, but you could convince me that that would be a good play, but I do like him in DFS.
Great stuff, Len. Good luck in your lineups this week. Always a pleasure to have you on. Len Hochberg,
thanks,
everybody,
guys.
From
great
RotoWire. VSiN and Winner's Circle Proxy are giving away two grand prize packages for the Circa Million 7 contest. Each includes a fully paid entry, a full season proxy service from the team at Winner's Circle Proxy, and an exclusive behind-the-scenes tour of VSiN Studios in Las Vegas. It's free to enter. Just go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN and fill out the short form before August 17th. Don't miss your shot to play for $6 million in guaranteed prizes this season. Go to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSiN. Our best bets, including Dinger Wednesday, coming up next on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you, taking you up to the top of the hour here on a Wednesday edition of Prop Points. Make sure you keep it locked here on the Sports Betting Network. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming your way next. Ariel Epstein going to stop by the show, give out her favorite Major League Baseball plays and props for tonight. We got Follow the Money coming up at 4 p.m. That's Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard. Scott Seidenberg, Manning Beeson Primetime. That starts up at 7. Jeff, we got a day-heavy slate in Major League Baseball. Plenty of games ongoing. We're in the middle of the eighth, about to head to the bottom there between the O's and the Phillies. Orioles up 5-1 in that one. Pirates up 2-1 on the Giants. We're in the top of the eighth out in Pittsburgh. Guardians taking it to the New York Mets. Now 4-0 in the top of the seventh. Back and forth game in the AL Central between the Twins and the Tigers. Twins now leading that one 6-4. Only in the bottom of the fifth inning. So hopefully you went over in that one. Reds Cubs is underway. We're in the bottom of the second, 0-0. Still in the top of the first between the Yankees and the Rangers. That game also 0-0. Two out, one on for the New York Yankees, who, Jeff, if they lose this game today to the Texas Rangers, not only would that mean a series sweep, that would mean the Yankees would be on the outside looking in the AL wildcard.
Just wild how quickly the narrative has turned on them. Five games in a row, they've already lost, a road trip from hell. They do get home this weekend, at least. They already sent down Jake Bird, one of the relievers they picked up at the trade deadline. You know, Devin Williams, it's just, you know, every day is just a disaster, it feels like, for him. It's been a tough look. And, you know, those odds keep changing. You know, 10 days ago, we looked at the yes and no playoff odds, and it was like minus 1,000 to make it, plus 750 to not make the playoffs. It's now like minus 350 plus 260 is the split now. It's been a dramatic change. And, you know, the problems that exist still exist. You know, they did get Aaron Judge back finally. But, you know, what does that do to the defense? He can't play. Obviously, he can't play the field. So that's a big aspect there. I think yesterday Stanton was out of the starting lineup. That's a big change. In fact, Stanton's not in the lineup today again. And yeah, because they can't play Stanton defensively. He'll either break or he'll be bad out there. Either way, it's a bad result. Paul Goldschmidt has lost against right-handers. And then you got the rotation where, you know, they got a good start out of Will Warren yesterday, but still, I mean, he's your number three starter. You're hoping Luis Gil kind of show some of the signs from last year, but he hasn't yet. And, you know, they've got a rookie in Cam Schlittler in there. It's really a tough look in this rotation. Injuries and poor performance have really hamstrung them in that rotation.
All right, Jeff, let's take a look at the afternoon and night slate. We got a handful of games starting up in the next couple of hours. We'll tell you how we're betting them. Let's start with Cardinals-Dodgers out in L.A. Dodgers big favorites on the money line. Totals up at 9.5. We should see Shohei Ohtani on the hill. His first start since leaving with cramps last time out. Matthew Liberatore out there for the Cardinals. I know you're looking at this as an over spot, and since you will not be with us these next 2 days, Jeff, we have moved Dinger Thursday up to Dinger Wednesday, so we'll have some Dinger props coming as well.
Yeah, give the people what they want, for sure. It's a day game today. You know the ball flies better in Dodger Stadium during the day. It's going to be a hot day out here in Los Angeles, so should expect a lot of offense. Of course, that's baked into the line. It's 9.5. The Dodgers finally broke out of it yesterday. I was really encouraged to see Teoscar Hernandez get untracked. I think that's a big one. Mookie Betts had a couple of hits. That's also a big one. Max Muncy changes this lineup. But lefty on the mound today and Matthew Liberatore. Liberatore is starting to falter a little bit there. He may be getting deep into the season. Over the last 30 days, 6.17 ERA, 2.06 whip, putting a lot of runners on base. I wanted to go with Teoscar Hernandez for a dinger prop, but that price at plus 260 was a little prohibitive. I'm going to go the over 9.5 at minus 102. And we'll go back to old friend Andy Páez, who's got like 19 homers on the season, plus 400. I like that price. We'll go with Páez instead of Teoscar. I can see the case for getting behind Teoscar, but so can the books, obviously, because his price is a lot lower.
Got the Royals at the Red Sox tonight, Jeff. Red Sox are hot again. They've won 7 in a row, of course, taking the first 2 games of this series. Michael Wacha taking on Dustin May tonight. What do you like here?
So Red Sox have won 7 in a row. They're 3.5 games up on the wild card. They're rolling. They're at home. Life is good. I don't like the pitcher today for the Red Sox. Dustin May, making his Red Sox debut, hasn't pitched since July 27th. And ironically, he faced the Red Sox as a Dodger. And after which he was so good that the Dodgers decided there's no longer room in their rotation for him. And they traded him away at the deadline. It's a long rest. Sometimes that works. Sometimes that, you know, it's a little too long sometimes for pitchers. And they're overamped, especially trying to make their impression on their new team. Meanwhile, Michael Wacha has quietly been a pretty darn good pitcher. hasn't had the wins to show for it recently. Broke that streak, though, last week against a red-hot Blue Jays team, went 8 strong against them. Ended a long winless streak there. I think they break the Red Sox streak today. I think that the Royals win behind the strength of Waka, plus 119, behind the strength of a lineup that's been better over the last month and a half, hitting for more power. Salvador Perez in particular has really started to pick it up. So we're going KC Moneyline, plus 119. I'm also going to go Salvador Perez on Dinger Wednesday, plus 390.
All right, Jeff, the entire show has been building toward this. Brewers, Braves, Brewers staying hot last night. They've now won 5 in a row, 20 of their last 24. Send in Jose Quintana to the hill, going up against Spencer Strider, another pitcher coming in on long rest.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I'm going to be gone the next 2 days, going to see my dad in Wichita, Kansas. So wanted to remain in your good graces while I'm gone. So we'll leave out on a high note here. We're going to go with the Brewers money line, plus 109. You know, even though the Brewers are rolling, the Braves are not. Brewers have won 5 in a row. We know all their exploits as of late. The Braves have lost 7 out of 10. Milwaukee's getting plus money, and that's because of the pitching matchup, Jose Quintana versus Spencer Strider. But hear me out on why this might not work out so badly for the Brewers with this pitching matchup. And notably on the Braves' offense side of things, no Ronald Acuna Jr., no Austin Riley. So two big right-handed bats out of the lineup for the Braves. Against lefties, even with everybody, all things considered, it's 301 WOBA, 92 WRC+, plus, just kind of very mid. I think they'll be worse without those two. So I think this sets up pretty well from that standpoint. Spencer Strider is pitching on 8 days rest with an asterisk. He warmed up on Saturday for that Speedway Classic at Bristol before the rain delay, and then they decided to pull him after the rain delay. We'll see what he brings to the table. This is a matchup between a high strikeout pitcher and Strider, 28.2% strikeout rate, and the Brewers' low strikeout team, 18.5% over the last 30, which will give. I think the Brewers will make things difficult for Strider. I like the Brewers' money line, plus 109, but give me an Ozzie Albies homer. 3 career homers and a 1,700 OPS against Quintana, plus 750. It's been a tough year for Albies, but I think he sneaks one in today.
Quick score update for you in Detroit. Minnesota Twins, back-to-back home runs. They've added to their lead, now leading 8-4 over the Detroit Tigers. Still in the top of the sixth there, just one out for the Twins. Alan Rodon with the latest of those home runs. Keeping an eye on the Giants Pirates as well. We're in the top of the eighth, one out. Giants still trailing 2-1, but bases loaded. So we'll let you know if anything big happens there. Jeff, before we get to our best bets real quickly, anything for you in Padres Diamondbacks tonight?
Yeah, I think the Padres are going to score a lot of runs again against Anthony Discofani. I think they get disco fever here. I think, you know, this game went 11 innings last night. The Padres rallied in the 11th, scored 5 runs in the 11th. The Diamondbacks bullpen already threadbare, should be really tired for this one. I think they score a lot of runs. And I think Manny Machado at plus 400 will be my Dinger Wednesday guy for this game.
It's time for our best bets of the night. They're brought to you by GBank, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card, and in the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. If you do that, you get $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match, and VSiN completes the trifecta with a free 6-month VSiN Pro subscription. It's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head over to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank, where you can find all the details. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Jeff, before we get to our best bets of the night, I know we have a little bit of an update in that Guardians-Mets game.
Yeah, through 7, no hitter for Gavin Williams. 4-0 Cleveland on this one. Guardians have already won the first 2 games of this series. Williams has been pitching very well over the last 2 months.
Yeah, one to watch in the next hour or so. See if he can finish that off. Your best bet, Jeff?
We're going to go with that Milwaukee money line, plus 109 against the Braves.
All right, I'm taking the over 9.5 in Padres Diamondbacks. Jeff, you just talked about that pitching matchup. Nestor Cortez has not pitched in 125 days. These teams combined for 15 runs last night. Game went into extras. Both teams were burning through a ton of pitchers. 8 for San Diego, 7 for Arizona. I think we see the offense take advantage of some depleted staffs tonight. So give me that over 9.5. We'll be back with you tomorrow afternoon. Brandon Kravitz stepping in for Jeff Erickson. Keep it locked right here on VSiN. Make the rain with Adam Schein coming your way next.